If not, we'll come up with plan B. There will be a plan B. 2 Samuel chapter 3, as we continue our study of 2 Samuel. We've seen already, number 1, Abner installs a king in chapter 2, verses 8 through 11. Secondly, Abner incites a war, verses 12 through 17. Number 3, Abner incapacitates Azahel in chapter 2, verses 18 through 23. Number 4, Abner invites a truce, verses 24 through 32. And I went ahead and this chapter is number 5. This is chapter 3, verses 1 through 21. Abner initiates a negotiation. And then underneath that, David's numbers increase. David's numbers increase, verses 1 through 5. George, if you'd read 1 through 5, we'll get cranking this morning.
Now, there was a long war between the house of Saul and the house of David. But David waxed stronger and stronger, and the house of Saul waxed weaker and weaker. And unto David were sons born in Hebron, and his firstborn was Amnon of Ahinoam, and the Jezreelitess, and his second, Chileab of Abigail, the wife of Nabal, the Carmelite, and the third, Absalom, the son of Maacah, the daughter of Tamai, king of Geshur, and the fourth, Adonijah, the son of Haggith, and the fifth, Shephatiah, the son of Abital, and the sixth, Ithream by Eliah, David's wife. These were born to David in Hebron.
Excellent. Aren't you glad you didn't have to read those? Come on, be honest. You were saying, oh, thank you, Lord, that I didn't have to read that. Yeah? So David, at this point, doesn't have a whole lot of wives. But when he becomes king of the whole nation, he's going to move, of course, the capital to Jerusalem. And he's going to have many more wives and 11 more sons. And David, I don't know exactly how many wives he had, but I can guarantee you he didn't have as many as his son Solomon, who had 1,000 between the wives and the concubines. He had 1,000 women. I mean, I spent 48 years trying to satisfy one. I can't imagine. Can you even fathom the thought? Well, polygamy began with Lamech, who was a descendant of Cain. You can read about that in Genesis chapter 4, verse number 19. The nation of Israel tolerated it, but of course we know it was never God's plan, because God said that a man would leave his mother and father and cleave unto his wife, and they too should be one flesh. It's always God's plan, one man, one woman for one lifetime. But it was definitely not allowed for kings. Back in Deuteronomy, if you recall in our study, it seems like a long time ago, doesn't it, that we were in Deuteronomy? It really wasn't that long ago. But in Deuteronomy 17:17, as Moses was talking about the time when they would get a king, he knew about it. And he was given some instruction as to what kind of life the king was to live. And he talked about not multiplying horses to himself or multiplying gold and silver. He said, neither, in verse 17, neither shall he multiply wives to himself, that his heart turn not away. And that's what happened to Solomon. Because of all of his women, his heart turned away from God. And the tragedy is, when you think about Solomon, he was the wisest man that ever lived, other than Christ himself. Now, that doesn't sound very wise, does it? So even the wisest man is not so wise. That's the whole point. They're not supposed to multiply wives, because their heart would be turned away. Neither shall he greatly multiply to himself silver and gold. And what did David do? The second king marries a bunch of different women, some, of course, for political reasons, relations with other nations. We'll read about his additional wives. I'll have to make sure George reads that list in chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. So David's numbers increase. Then verses 6 through 11, number 2 under Abner initiates a negotiation. Abner's new position. Abner's new position, verses 6 through 11. Volunteer to read those. 6 through 11. Anybody? Ms. Sherry, go ahead. Chapter 3, verses 6 through 11.
The daughter of Aiah and Ish-bosheth said to Abner, "Wherefore hast thou gone in unto my father's concubine?" Then was Abner very wroth for the words of Ish-bosheth and said, "Am I a dog's head which against Judah do shew kindness this day unto the house of Saul, thy father, to his brethren and to his friends? And have not delivered thee into the hand of David, that thou chargest me today with a fault concerning this woman?" That's a long sentence.
It is a very long. It's sort of like a run-on sentence, isn't it?
Yeah. "So do God to Abner and warn also, except as the Lord hath sworn to David, even so I do to him. To translate the kingdom from the house of Saul, and to set up the throne of David over Israel and over Judah, from Dan even to Beersheba." And he could not answer Abner a word again because he feared him.
All right, thank you much. Abner's new position. Now, this guy was a very shrewd general, wasn't he? I mean, he was a real warrior. And, of course, he knows that, or he knew that Saul's family would not continue. Ish-bosheth, even though he set him up as king, it was a temporary thing. And so being a shrewd general and also a very slick politician, in those days he was known as Slick Abner. Not really, I just threw that in there. But he knew that his days were numbered. So his motto became, "I want to be a part of the winning team. I want to be a part of the winning team." He saw that David's strength was increasing and Ish-bosheth was losing strength. And so he wanted his own security guaranteed. He wanted a position for himself. So he decided he was going to defect. Kind of a wise decision. He knew that David wanted peace. And he knew that David was always very good to the tribe or the house of Saul. So he thought it'd be a good time for him to switch sides. And of course, David had married Michal, who was Saul's daughter 10 years before. He had, of course, brought Saul 100 foreskins, I think, or 200 foreskins of Philistines. I think he was supposed to bring 100, brought two, if I remember right. I'm going by memory. That's not good. And so he was able to marry Michal. And she loved him, and he loved her. And, of course, Saul reneged and gave his wife to somebody else because David was on the run. Ish-bosheth then in verses 7 and 8. By the way, in verse number 3, Chileab, one of his children from Abigail, is called Daniel in 1 Chronicles 3 1. So you might want to write that next to verse number 3, called Daniel in 1 Chronicles 3 1. If the Lord tarries and if we end up doing Chronicles someday, you'll notice that name is there, Daniel. In verse number 6, it came to pass while there was war between the house of Saul and the house of David. Now, these were skirmishes. Verse 1 says a long war. It was at least 2 years, but it wasn't a continual war. There were skirmishes. There'd be a battle, and there'd be no battle. It was just a constant, several battles occurring over that period of at least 2 years. So there was war between the house of Saul and the house of David. Abner made himself strong for, or some translations, because it can be translated in, made himself strong in the house of Saul, and maybe he was making himself strong because he might have been planning to make a move to take the throne. Who knows? Who knows if the league that he made with David, that he didn't have that in his mind. We don't really know. Which includes also that thought when you read verse 7. Saul had a concubine. And remember, when a king would die, the concubine would go to his son who would assume the throne. Ishbosheth was the only son of Saul that was alive. And so he was set up as king over Israel. And of course, David had Judah at this point. So he accused Abner of going into Saul's concubine with Rizpah, the daughter of Aiah, and Ishbosheth said, wherefore hast thou gone in unto my father's concubine? If indeed this were true, and he did this, it's possible he was making a clear statement that he was going to take Saul's place as king over all Israel. Because that's basically what this showed, is that he was pursuing the throne. Because that was a serious thing, to go in unto a king's concubine. I mean, that was treason. That was treasonous. And Abner, of course, was very angry. He said, hey, no way, didn't do it. He said, am I a dog's head, which against Judah, or some translations have, belongs to Judah, do show kindness this day unto the house of Saul, thy father, and to his brethren, and to his kings. Could be translated today, I show loving kindness to the house of Saul, your father. And he's basically telling Ishbosheth, if it wasn't for me, you wouldn't be king. I set you up. I went around and talked to the people. I convinced them to allow you to be king. And here you're accusing me of something so distasteful.
Probably did it anyway.
It's very possible. We don't know if he did or didn't, but he was accused of it. And basically, again, it was him saying, I want the kingdom. All right, then verses 9 and 10, Abner then said, okay, that's it, last straw. You're charging me today with a fault or a guilt concerning this woman. So do God to Abner, and more also, except as the Lord has sworn to David, even so I do to him. Or I do not do this for him. Seems Abner knew at this point, he knew before, that David was indeed the one that was chosen of God. He said to translator to transfer the kingdom from the house of Saul and to set up or establish the throne of David over Israel and over Judah from Dan even to Beersheba. So again, he wanted to be on the winning side and receive honor for bringing all the nation under David's rule. And so it sounds to me like he's being a little vengeful. What do you think? And of course, Ishbosheth, being a little puppet king, I don't think he was very manly. I just have that idea that he was not exactly. Remember, he wasn't there to fight. That's why he's alive. His brothers are dead. He was kind of, I think he was a little mealy, don't you? So what could he do? Nothing. He didn't even answer Abner. And he was the king. He's afraid of Abner, his general. Shouldn't Abner have been afraid of the king? Well, which leads us to number three, Abner's negotiation procedure. I had to think of things that started within. I was running out. I was desperate. You'll see that when I get to the last point. I really stretched it. But you got to do what you got to do. Right, Kathy?
That's right.
I mean, if you're going to alliterate, you got to do it.
Amen.
All right, verses 12 through 21. 12 through 21. So who will take 12 through 16? 12 through 16. Ms. Becca? And then 17, let's go ahead and just do 17 to 21. Who'll do those? Scotty? All right, go ahead, Becca.
Okay. And Abner sent messengers to David on his behalf, saying, "Whose is the lamb?" Saying also, "Make thy league with me, and behold, my hand shall be with thee to bring about all Israel unto thee." And he said, "Well, I will make a league with thee, but one thing I require of thee, that is, thou shalt not see my face, except thou first bring the call of Saul's daughter, when thou comest to see my face." And David sent messengers to Ish-bosheth, Saul's son, saying, "Deliver me my wife Michal, which I espoused to me for 100 foreskins of the Philistines." And Ish-bosheth sent and took her from her husband, even from Phaltiel, the son of Laish. And her husband went with her along, weeping behind her to Bahurim. Then said Abner unto him, "Go, return." And he returned.
And Abner had communication with the elders of Israel, saying, "Ye ought for David in times past to be king over you, but ye sought. Now let me do it, for the Lord hath spoken of David, saying, 'By the hand of my servant David I will save my people Israel out of the hand of the Philistines, and out of the hand of all their enemies.' And Abner also spake in the ears of Benjamin, and Abner went also to speak in the ears of David in Hebron, all that seemed good to Israel, and that seemed good to the whole house of Benjamin. So Abner came to David to Hebron, and 20 men with him. And David made Abner and the men that were with him a feast. And Abner said unto David, 'I will arise and go, and gather all Israel unto my lord the king, that they may make a league with thee, and that thou mayest reign over all that thine heart desireth.' David said, 'Send Abner away.'
All right. Thank you both. Abner's negotiation procedure. Of course, Michal was still David's wife, even though he had been given to another man and had been with this other man for 10 years. David did deliver 200 foreskin. 1 Samuel chapter 18, Saul required 100. He said, "Well, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll just double that." And he brought 200. She had loved David. That's also in chapter 18 of 1 Samuel. They were wed 10 years before. And as far as David was concerned, she was his queen. Being from the house of Saul, of course, it would strengthen the bonds of unity as he was trying to get the whole kingdom, Judah and Israel, together as one, as the way God intended for it to be. And so by claiming the daughter of Saul, David was also claiming the entire kingdom. So that's the bottom line. And Wiersbe called this negotiation procedure shuttle diplomacy. You kind of see a little bit of that with our nation dealing with Putin over the Ukraine war, how it didn't start out with Putin and Trump getting together. It started out Trump sent his people and Putin sent his people, and they had meetings and they discussed and they talked about what could be done. And then finally, Putin and Trump. Well, that's the same thing here. David sent his messengers, and Abner sent his messengers, and they all talked. And David told through the messengers what he required, and Abner said, "Here's what I want." And then finally, Abner and David met eyeball to eyeball. So in verse 12, Abner sent messengers to David, offering to bring all Israel under his rule. He knew that Ish-bosheth's days were numbered. David was already chosen by God and had been anointed by Samuel. Then in verse 13, David sent messengers to Abner, accepting his offer. But there was something that had to be done. He said, "I want Michal." I put the little Hebrew there. You didn't know I could speak Hebrew, did you? Brad, do you know I'm a Hebrew scholar? Fred's looking at me like, "No, I don't think so." You're right. And remember, too, that she was Ish-bosheth's sister. David said, "I want my wife back." Then Abner conferred with the elders of Israel in verses 17 and 18. Then he went to Benjamin, knowing that Saul was from the tribe of Benjamin. And so he went to Benjamin and talked to them in verse 19. Then Abner and 20 representatives from the tribes came to Hebron, bringing Michal with them in verses 15, 16, and 20. Abner was showing there that he broke with the house of Saul, bringing Michal back to David. It's kind of like a clean break from the house of Saul. And then Abner and David met, and they agreed how the kingdom would be transferred. They shared a feast and made a covenant. So he wanted his wife back to right a wrong and to try to bring some of Saul's house to his side. David said, I want my wife back. And it's tragic that in verse 15, Ishbosheth sent and took her from her husband. I can't even imagine how that poor guy felt, huh? You're married to a woman for 10 years. And then she's taken from him. He obviously loved her very much. And he went with her along weeping just east of Jerusalem to Bahurim. Then said Abner unto him, go, return. And he turned and left. He said, look, I'm not going to die for her. I don't love her that much. I'm out of here. So he left. And of course, as we'll see when we get further along, Michal ended up mocking David at one point. Remember that? If you've read some of these books before, I hope you have. He was acting like a court jester in a parade.
He was dancing.
Yeah, dancing around and acting a fool. Yeah. And she was up in like a balcony looking down and said, really? That's the king?
Yeah,
I married him? Yeah, so she didn't think too much of him at that particular point. In verse 18, you can see that Abner clearly recognized David as a servant of Yahweh, having the right to the throne according to God's sovereign will. By the hand of my servant David, I will save my people Israel out of the hand of the Philistines and out of the hand of all their enemies. And then, of course, Abner spoke to those in Benjamin, which was Saul and Ishbosheth's tribe. And then Abner and 20 men sat down with David, as I mentioned. And in verse 21, we see that it went beyond the agreement between David and Abner. This covenant moved this to a national level, from just the two men discussing and agreeing to a national level. Abner said unto David, I will arise and go and will gather all Israel unto my lord the king, that they may make a league with thee, literally cut a covenant. Remember, they would take an animal, cut it in half, and those making the agreement would walk between the two pieces of the animal. And so the covenant was sealed in blood, the blood of an animal. That's what when God made the covenant with Abraham, it was an unconditional covenant. In other words, God was going to do it regardless. He caused a deep sleep to fall upon Abraham, and an animal was cut in half the long way. The pieces were laid like this, and God walked between the pieces because it was all him. That covenant is yet to be fully fulfilled. It will be in the millennium, which we get to be a part of, and the rapture is coming. I wish I could set a date, but the Lord said, therefore, be also ready, for such an hour as ye think not the Son of Man cometh. You hear a lot of people saying, man, it's looking like the end is coming. Look what's going on in the world. Well, the Lord said, in such an hour as ye think not. So maybe everything will be going pretty good. Now, I know there is scripture talk about things getting worse and, you know, waxing worse and worse and all that. And certainly we've seen that, correct? But it's going to be in such an hour as we think not. That's why we've got to be ready all the time. Because it could be today. Could be today. I may not even be able to make the burgers and hot dogs tomorrow. What a sacrifice, leaving those behind.
Nothing like
hungry. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Where was I? I got off on the thinking of the end times. All right, so the idea was to bring all Israel together. Last part of verse 21, and that thou mayest reign over all that thine heart desireth. And David sent Abner away, and he went in peace. Which leads us then to number five, Abner's neutralization. I had to come with an end. Now, when you neutralize somebody, what are you doing? You're killing them. Yeah, so Abner is going to be neutralized. But we're not going to be able to finish, so I'm not even going to start this. We're going to go over the prayer list. Now, any questions or comments? Let's stop right here. Today is the last, you realize tomorrow is September. We are entering the last quarter of the year. 66 and a third percent. That'd be two thirds. Yeah. Three, four. That'd be.
Last third.
Huh?
The last third.
The last third would be October, November, December. Yeah, that'd be the fourth. It is the last third, isn't it? Thank you. That's why I said 66 and two thirds. We have 33 and a third left. So again, let me reiterate, I'm here to serve. Do you have your Christmas tree out? Because it's going to be here before you know it. No questions or comments. Christmas has come so quickly now that I now have my tree in a back bedroom. Actually, it'd be the middle bedroom, because I got tired of carrying it out to the shed. And I said, this is stupid. No one's using this room. Why don't I just put the tree and the other Christmas stuff in this room? And so that's where it's at. All right. Pray for the church. God has been good. Had another visiting couple last week. They seemed to really like it. Moved here from Loudoun County, Virginia. We're in a massive church. Between 2,000 and 3,000 people. And they said, we want a small church. I said, you have found it. And she's having surgery next Friday on her back. Hopefully they'll be able to come today. But Ken and Kimberly, I remembered that by K and K. My brother, of course, is Ken. So I'll never forget his name. And her name is Kimberly. Pray for them. Pray they'll keep coming. Seemed like a really, really nice couple. Pray for our nation. A lot is going on. There is no idle time in the Trump White House. Have you noticed? Huh?
He keeps them confused.
Just moves one thing to another. He had 4 years to plan all this. The man is a planner. He's got it all down. It's working out.
Something going different every day.
Yeah? I kind of like it. It's exciting. I started watching last night right before I went to bed. I started watching his cabinet. I love to watch his cabinet meetings. This cabinet meeting, and the press is there, over 3 hours, almost 3.5 hours long.
Joe would have never made it.
He wouldn't have made it 15 minutes. But anyway, so I started watching it, and it's awesome. You learn a lot. There's a lot of stuff going on. All right, pray for our missionaries that are preaching the Word of God around the world, for Mark, Rhonda, and Rhonda's mom. And pray for Darlene. Talked to her this week. She was at the beach, but not on the beach. She was in the room by herself. Family was on the beach, so I called her. And she was doing a little bit better. She said she got platelets and blood, but she thought she needed blood. But she sounds good. And we've become buddies. We're phone pals. So we talk quite a while, and I do most of the talking. I don't know why, but we get to. But she is so fun to talk to. I enjoy it.
She likes you to pray for her.
Yeah, she stresses that, and she's just as sweet as she can be. I said, man, I wish I'd have known you 20 years ago. Why did we wait so long? Pray for Bill's kidneys, that they keep on keeping on till further duration, and blood pressure as well. Pray for me if you think about it. I mean, it shouldn't be on the top of your list, but my blood pressure, that lower number. I decided I'd wean myself off of the metoprolol, or however you say it, because my blood pressure was too low. I take a new heart pill, and then my upper number started getting too high, and my lower number is still low. So I don't know. I got to go to Hashem on Wednesday, so pray if you would. My pulse was 44 this morning, which might be just a little low. I don't know. Pray for Regina. Eugene Cox has cancer surgery the 15th of September. And praise the Lord for Lori being here and doing much, much better. I went on a mission trip this week. I went to Lori's house. And I mean to tell you, it's a mission trip. If I didn't have GPS, and thankfully it worked for a change, I don't know where I would have ended up. But and by the way, it took me a different route going home.
Exactly.
I did. I went Fish Hatchery down and ended up coming back. I don't even remember what it was. Huh?
That's the best way to go.
Yeah, it's a turn after turn after turn. Turn here, turn there, turn here, turn there. I said, my goodness. But I finally found it several roads later. Pray for Rodney Barney with colon cancer. Annadale's nephew, Stephen. Pray for him. Is he still on ANOVA? I'm assuming he is. Is he doing okay? Is he coming along?
I think he's coming along slowly, but he's got a long recovery. But I think he's improving.
Well, that's good. Pray for Ronnie. About to talk to him. He's about the same. About to say a lot of back issues, and he's got some stomach issues going on as well. Just enough to, he's got to stay close to the facilities. Kimberly, that I mentioned, has back surgery on Friday. Leonard is home with an earache, said he's never had one as far as he knows, but it's a bad one. So pray for Leonard. And Gary and Kathy are going to see Darlene. And I didn't mention that because I said they might be surprising her. So I didn't know if she knew or not. So I didn't say anything.
Yes. We can't surprise her because it's got to go through her daughter and everything.
So. Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you'd have to walk from the airport.
She tells us when it's a good time to come.
Okay. But I didn't know. So I didn't. I said, that's all I need to do is tell her. And then, what? So.
Pastor Mike Grooms went to this past week to see, it sounded to me like it's just like a checkup maybe for his heart, and they did some tests and he will get the results sometime this week.
Okay.
And then they're going today to Pennsylvania, his brother-in-law and his of course,
Ronnie Riggins?
His last sermon today.
Oh, wow.
Mr. Mike and his wife went, and I'm sure others too.
Yeah. Yes. Ronnie Riggins, I remember him. He was a little guy.
50 years ago.
Did you meet him, Ronnie Riggins? He's a little guy.
We saw him.
Yeah. He's like the preacher equivalent to Tater. He's a little guy. But he could preach, though.
They must all be involved in ministry.
Pretty much, yeah.
They started a church over there 50 years. One church.
Wow.
In a church, 50 years.
I remember when he started that. Right after he started. Because I think he came to... Why am I talking like folks aren't here? I'm sorry. Let's stand together and pray. I didn't mean not to... Yeah. We're having this long conversation and everyone's saying, are you going to pray? What are you doing? Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for those that are part of this assembly and how we can come together and fellowship together and study your word together, pray together and spend time knowing that one day all that are born again are going to be spending eternity together in heaven. And we'll be singing your praises and serving you forever and ever. And Lord, I pray that you continue to bless our fellowship, bring more folk in and become a part of this family, this local body of believers. And I pray, Father, that what we say and do would bring honor and glory to your name, for you alone are worthy of our praise and worship. I pray, Father, for these that have physical needs. We thank you for what you've done in Lori's life. We pray you continue to completely heal her. We pray for Darlene this morning that if it would glorify you, that you completely heal her and take away this awful leukemia. And if not, I pray, Lord, you give her many, many more good days. Strengthen her body, Lord. Encourage her heart. We've grown to really love her as we've gotten to know her. I pray, Lord, for Mark, that, Lord, we know that you can heal and you could restore him to full health. And if, again, that would be pleasing in your sight, we pray that you would. In the meantime, give him strength and encouragement and continue to provide for Rhonda and encourage her heart, increase her faith, continue to take care of her mom. And we pray, Father, that all the others, Leonard at home today with an earache, and we think of those in the hospital. And Pastor Mike, as he receives his results, we pray that they would be good. Protect them as they travel to Pennsylvania today and back. Lord, we thank you that you are on the throne, that we can rest in you. We don't have to worry and fret and wring our hands in despair. We have a God that loves us, and Lord, you care for us more than we could ever imagine. You're aware when a sparrow falls from the sky. And so we know, Lord, that you care deeply for us. Thank you for that love. Thank you for the sacrifice of your Son, dying upon that cross, shedding his blood to wash away our sin, Lord. Thank you that we, if we're born again this morning, have a right standing before a holy God. And there's no other way but through Jesus Christ. So bless the coming hour, Lord. May you be pleased with all that's said and done. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, 12 minutes. 12 minutes.